Welcome back to The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. In the 1967 classic film, The Graduate, the character Mr. McGuire has one word, just one word for Benjamin, the Dustin Hoffman character. That word is plastics. Today, that word should be coding. Coding is the future. It's something that a young person should be able to embrace and they can build a future on. But apparently, that message isn't getting out to all the students out there. And it's estimated that the United States will be short about 1 million coders by the year 2020. Have you embraced coding? What has it done for you? Call in and tell us your story. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And to help us with the conversation about coding in America, we're joined by Larry Aguilary. He is the VP of Talent Management at Rackspace. Welcome to The Source, Larry.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell me about coding. You're working as a talent management with Rackspace, and you're trying to help young kids get aboard coding. And how is that working? How are you doing that?
Sure. Thanks for the question. So a lot of what we do is expose young people to what technology is in general and how computer coding is going to be kind of the core of everything we do. When you think about most aspects of our lives, driving to work, getting up in the morning, anything that leverages automation likely has a computer attached to it, and that computer is driven by code. And we want to introduce them to that. And what we do at Rackspace and in the community is as many times as we can, as through as many touch points as we can, we want to introduce young people to technology, introduce young people to code. Some of it is selfish because we need to build a workforce here in San Antonio of the future, not only for our company, but for other technology companies that might be here in San Antonio leveraging our technology, our cloud hosting technology.
So how are you working with local kids?
That's a great question. There are multiple programs. We, for example, participate in Rack Gives Back. It's a group at Rackspace where we have our Rackers, our employees, give time out in the community in our local schools, the schools around our area, our campus, and we actually are introducing code to students through that vehicle. We also have our Open Cloud Academy. Open Cloud Academy is a training facility on the Riverwalk. It's being in partnership with Geekdom, and at Open Cloud Academy, we bring students in the summer. They do internship work with us where they also learn to code. These students are brought to us from Alamo Academies. That Alamo Academies is a partnership with Alamo Colleges, and they have an IT security administration program. And these are kids who come from all different high schools across the city. They come to the ITSA program, and in the summers, we provide scholarships and internship opportunities for those students to come and learn computer coding from us. And we had folks who were doing iApps. We had folks who were building code on little computers that we call Raspberry Pis. They put code on there, and these things were counting ping pong balls. They were doing all sorts of things this summer for us.
That's wild. For a kid or a young adult to say, I'm going to get into coding, and I'm going to build a future out of it, how do you know that future is going to continue to be there? Or will, as computers continue to advance and get more complicated, will they get leapfrogged? Or now's the time to get on the ground floor?
Sure. I think to the reference point you made in the lead-in, you know, we already are forecasting that we're going to be short 1 million coders in the U.S. I tell you every day, I feel that every single day as we compete for talent in the U.S. as well as globally. Every company you can imagine is looking for software developers. If you go to careerbuilder.com and look at their website today, just here in San Antonio today, there are almost 500 jobs open for computer programming or software developers. And certainly you think about Rackspace, but Whataburger, Walmart, ATB, Petco, all the companies you interact with, not just technology companies, are looking for people with these types of skills.
So when you ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they'll say an NBA basketball player or something, a movie star. They don't say, I want to be a coder. I mean, what is it? But, you know, we look at some of the people we have today in our society, our big hitters, you know, like the Mr. Facebook and Google's and everything else. These are people that they are changing the world.
That's right.
Because they develop these skills.
So you got Zuckerberg, you got Bill Gates, you got Steve Jobs for what he did at Apple. And look, I tell my son is a sixth grader. He's 11 years old. And last summer, he had video games. And he goes, Dad, I want to know more about video games. So I bought him a book on coding. And that's kind of when he wanted to do something fun. I said, okay, go code a program first. He goes, Dad, why are you doing this? I said, look, the future athlete, the future mogul, it's going to be a software developer because they're going to have the next big idea, the big idea that was, you know, some years ago, Rackspace, that which is now employing almost 6,000 people globally. That next idea is going to come from a kid sitting at a desk somewhere in sixth grade whose dad forced him to code last summer.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you do start getting into learning how to code for video games, because many video games are a simulation of reality.
That's right.
And as you get in, you learn about how light works and light reacts to surfaces and bounces around the room and physics and vectors and all sorts of great things. It does, when you start getting into that, it gives you, a better appreciation for reality.
Sure.
It's a beautiful thing.
Sure. It certainly reinforces, to your point, some of the basic things that, you know, our young people are learning in school today. And so just that little bit of work I did with my son around coding and what he did last summer, he's already applying it to his projects at school. Little things, like he did a PowerPoint presentation that he had to turn in last week, and it had some flying animation. Well, he knows what's happening. He knows what's happening behind the scene to make that animation work now.
All right, I'm going to bring in another guest into the conversation, James Wertzman. He is with Code.org. James, you there?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us. Quickly, tell us about Code.org. What are you doing?
Sure. So Code.org is a nonprofit, and we're a relatively young nonprofit. We were founded by an internet entrepreneur and executive named Hadi Partovi, who saw many of the same challenges that we're discussing on the program right now, namely, there's just not enough programmers in the world. The number of computer science graduates in the U.S. right now is actually declining from 10 years ago, and we're not filling all the job openings we have here. And so he started this nonprofit about a year ago. Our mission is to bring computer science education to every K-12 school in the country. Because right now, only about 10% of our K-12 schools teach computer science, and we think it should be 100%. Let alone the discussion of whether or not computer science should be a required subject. Let's just make sure the kids, even if they want to learn, they even have the opportunities to learn by putting it in schools. And so we gained a lot of press last week because we just finished running a program we called the Hour of Code during last week was Computer Science Education Week. And during that week, we ran this program to bring an hour-long introduction to computer programming to as many kind of K-12 students as we could. Our original goal, our stretch goal, was to get 10 million students to do this one-hour-long kind of first introduction to computer programming, and we were wildly successful. We actually had 16 million students do their first hour-long introduction to computer programming in the last 8 days. And we know that 1 hour long, you know, you're not going to learn that much in an hour. An hour is enough to hopefully demystify the subject and realize that you don't have to be a math genius to learn how to program. You don't have to be the next Bill Gates to learn how to program. You know, anyone can learn this subject. And hopefully, over the course of the last 8 days, enough students got that first taste that they'll want to now go on and either study computer science more formally, they'll want to go online and look for online classes or other resources, or their parents will say, look how much fun their kids had doing this, and go back to those principals and the superintendents and say, look, we really believe computer science needs to be in our schools. Please introduce this as a subject in our curriculum.
And computer science in allowing people to learn that they have the ability to write the language. They can become bilingual in another language, computer language, and talk to computers and tell computers what to do.
That's exactly it. We believe that computer science, learning how to program a computer, is a basic literacy skill of the 21st century. That, you know, we teach writing, we teach arithmetic, we teach, you know, the basic, you know, biology, chemistry. These are all things we've decided students need to learn. We, you know, here at Code.org, we believe that students should also learn how to program a computer. This is one of the basic skills.
All right, James,
going forward.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue the conversation. We want to hear from our listeners. The number is 614-8980. If you've got a question about coding, if you've got a story about how you became a coder, what it's doing for you, let us know. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX.
If we want America to stay on the cutting edge, we need young Americans like you to master the tools and technology that will change the way we do just about everything. That's why I'm asking you to get involved. Don't just buy a new video game, make one. Don't just download the latest app, help design it. Don't just play on your phone, program it.
You know, America is the land of opportunity. We have so much before us, so many challenges to overcome and problems to solve. Coding is the necessary tool of this century in order to best do that. Give it a shot with the Hour of Code. You'll see how easy it is. You can explore new ways to solve problems, and you can see so many new opportunities. Becoming literate in code is as essential to being literate in language and math. It is the only way for you to prepare for the future.
And that was, of course, was President Barack Obama, and that was House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, Republican, talking about the need for getting more people involved, especially our young people, in coding. And so let me ask about, and that's from the video that Code.org produced. And James, that's James Wertzman, that's your organization. And we're talking about coding, and it's a great job opportunity, but also as you get more people involved in coding, there's a great democratization of this technology that we're putting in the hands of the people who can really do wonderful things with it.
That's right. That's right. One of our number one objectives actually was to increase participation rates by both women. Historically, if you look at girls versus boys studying computer science, typically about 80% boys versus 20% girls in typical computer science classes. We wanted to see that get closer to 50-50. And also, especially students of color, African Americans, Hispanics, dramatically underrepresented in terms of the number of students studying. The only hard data we really have is the participation rates in the annual AP, Advanced Placement Computer Science exam every year. And both, you know, African Americans and Hispanics dramatically underrepresented in that class. Because we do believe no matter what career you're going to take as an adult, knowing how to program a computer is going to be useful. You don't have to want to work at Microsoft or Google to benefit from understanding how to get a computer help you solve a problem.
And so there's also the organization Coders Without Borders, which is like Doctors Without Borders, many of these Without Borders organizations are using coding skills to help international nonprofits. So, I mean, these are skills where you could really make a lot of help, make change in the world.
That's right. That's absolutely. I mean, one of the points that was just made, I'll remake it again because I think it's so important, is that when you look at, literally every business these days is being disrupted by software in some degree or another. I mean, more and more, your competitive advantage as a business owner, your competitive advantage has more to do with the software you're running as a business than necessarily the core service you're offering. You know, I choose which airlines to buy airplane tickets on more and more by who has a better online purchasing experience. Or when it comes to renting a car, who's going to have the better experience online as opposed to is the car. I assume the car is going to be clean. It'll be fueled. It'll be ready for me when I want it. I assume the airline is going to arrive generally on time. It's the software that really makes a difference. And frankly, it's hard enough to hire great engineers if you're Microsoft or Google. You know, if you're a small business owner or if you're a newspaper in a smaller city trying to find enough talent to help you build a competitive online experience versus, let's say, the New York Times or versus one of the, some major publication, that's tough. That's really tough. And so we have a dramatic need in this country to build and grow more engineering talent. You know, this is really going to be, America is amazing that we really still lead the world in the global economy when it comes to software and computer. You know, the internet was invented here. The personal computer was invented here. Most major software companies invented here. But we're potentially losing the race compared to other countries in terms of teaching computer science. So there are countries like, for example, even just the UK, just this past year, passed a law requiring now that every student graduating school in the UK in the next couple of years is going to have to study computer science. China requires every graduating high school student to take a year of computer science. Even small countries like Estonia have passed laws saying that every student graduating will have to have a year of computer science. In America, not only do we not have requirements of that in place, we don't even teach it, like I said, in 90% of our schools. And so that's really where we come in, trying to get that changed.
All right, we're talking about coding as a second language, the importance of learning to code and encouraging our young people to pick up coding. And even us grown-ups, we should at least look online and get acquainted with the concepts of coding and not be so intimidated by this. And we want to hear from our listeners. The number is 614-8980. Let's get Kira on the line. Kira, welcome to The Source. Tell us about your coding experience.
Hi, I'm Kira. I'm 13, and I go to a school called Monta Vista Montessori. One of my teachers introduced us to the Hour of Code, and I, being interested, tried it. And I tried one of the Python programming languages, and I really liked it. And then I told my dad about it, and he's a mechanical engineer, and he really liked me doing this, so he told me about the project that he wanted to do. I said, oh, maybe I could help. So he explained to me it is basically a clock that counts in money. So say you're going to a briefing, and then there's a computer that asks you, what is your salary? You put in your salary, and then the next person does. does it, and then the next person does it. It counts, it adds up the salary, and then you hit start. So every second, it calculates how much money the person is paying to pay those individual people. It counts, or the clock displays the money every second.
Right.
So when you hit,
We can find out how much money we're wasting in too many meetings that we have in businesses.
Yeah.
All right, Carrie, that sounds like a great idea and a great product, and congratulations on that. And I think that over at Rackspace, Larry Guillory, the VP of Management and Talent Recruitment, wants to talk to you over there. Thank you so much for calling in, Carrie. Appreciate that. So what do you think, Larry, when you hear Carrie talking about her ideas? Yeah.
So first, enthusiasm. Right. So first, I'm super excited, and kudos to you, Kara, for really applying technology to solve a very, very practical problem. The other thing I heard there in some of that summary was she studied it and learned it on her own. And we had some dialogue before the show started about so much of what we're talking about changes, and it changes daily. We are constantly, from a Rackspace perspective, chasing the latest, greatest technology, trying to make sure that our employees stay relevant and stay current. And so much about being successful in the future is taking advantage of organizations that are helping support a framework and helping to get coding information out in society, like code.org. But also, so much of it is going to be about self-study and getting out there, seeing what's available online, seeing what books are available, and learning a lot of this on your own, so that when you come to employers like Rackspace, even though you may not have the shiny college credential, you have a battery of work, and you have lots of understanding about how technology and about how coding works. I mean, we certainly have hired folks who don't come to us with a shiny degree, but who come with us with lots of years of practical experience that starts very much the same as Kara started building a code at, one little program at home to help her dad with the situation. That snowballs and evolves. And to your very point, 6 or 7 years from now, she's on our hit list of somebody we need to go hire.
All right, let's get another caller on the air, and our number is 614-8980. Mark, welcome to The Source. Mark, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Mark, go ahead.
I'm a computer science professor here in town. I teach at Trinity University. We were actually the first undergraduate institution with computer sciences, a department in the state of Texas. And so I get to see firsthand a lot of the challenges with computer science and education. We host a high school programming competition every year, and we invite schools from all over Central Texas. And the participation in San Antonio is actually quite poor. Turns out Houston dominates our competition here. And this is despite the fact that Texas is actually ahead of most of the rest of the nation. Computer science at least actually counts for something in the Texas curriculum. If you're not on the distinguished plan, it counts as a math credit. That's not true for the majority of states. But despite that, we really don't have this present in schools. And one of the big things that we need to have is more schools with these programs and teachers in the schools who can actually teach this.
So, Mark, thank you for that phone call. Appreciate it. And those are some great points. We got to figure out a way to get San Antonio more involved in that project. So, James Wertzman over at code.org, you did the week of coding education in the United States and the hour of coding. Are schools catching on that they need to get this as part of their curriculum, or are their eggheads dragging their feet?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. The feedback we got from this hour of code was absolutely phenomenal. If you just go on Twitter and search for the hour of code hashtag, you'll see some of the testimonies from teachers. I mean, a number of teachers wrote in comments to the tune of, I tried this, I wasn't sure what to expect. My students had one of the best education experiences they've ever had. They were collaborative, they enjoyed it, they were thrilled. We need to get computing into our school. And so what we're doing here at code.org is three things. Number one, advocacy working at the state and federal level and advocacy programs similar to the one the professor just described, in which we need to make sure that every state recognizes computer science as a credit toward graduation. In 33 of the 50 states right now, if you take an advanced placement computer science test, it does not count toward your graduation requirements in math and science. And so we've got to get that fixed. Number two, we're working directly with superintendents and school districts across the country to help them bring computer science into their schools by offering both curriculum as well as professional development for teachers, because schools are not going to be able to just hire the brightest and best and brightest computer science graduates out of colleges. We have to take existing math and science teachers or other interested teachers and teach them how to teach computer science, because that's how we're going to have to bring this into the schools. And then number three, we're working on programs like the Hour of Code designed to kind of raise awareness and essentially encourage students to want to go and try this, because it doesn't matter if we're teaching at every school if students don't want to teach it. We have to both address both the supply problem and also the demand problem as well.
And we also need cross-discipline stuff, right, Larry? I'm sure you need designers and people who can work with customer support who also understand this stuff so they can communicate that.
So much of what we're seeing as the future in our workspace is this notion of DevOps. And to your very point, these are largely going to be comprised of groups and people who understand the basics of code, have some ability around coding themselves, but understand the application of code, how our technicians will need to support it, how customers are going to consume it.
How you can sell it.
And absolutely how you can sell it.
All right, I want to thank you so much, Larry Guillory. He's a VP of Talent Management at Rackspace. James Wurtzman, he's at code.org, talking about teaching America to code. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can figure this out, and you should wrap your head around it. It's not crazy magic. This is doable. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.